We read together in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 4 at verse 14. Luke 4 at verse 14. This is page 1031 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4 at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And God will bless to us the reading of his word, and to his name be glory and praise. Now let us pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would come to mind and heart this day to move us towards your Son Jesus, to once again renew our commitment to his ways. And we ask that your word to us today would be an encouragement to us, a strength to us, as we see the vision once again made clear. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I don't know about you, but I always find that on the Lord's Day, it's quite an encouragement, indeed, an inspiration to remember that we, in gathering in our local church, are part of a worldwide movement of people who are gathering, perhaps from different Christian traditions, but they're gathering in their own local churches today to wait upon God's word, to receive by his grace everything that the Holy Spirit has prepared for them, and to move them forward in the ways of Jesus. That's part of an ancient tradition. It goes back to the very first Christians. They would meet on the first day of the week, which was the day of Jesus' resurrection. And they would gather together in anticipation that the risen Lord would meet with them through word and sacrament. And that itself, that gathering of people in a local place, That itself had its roots in the Jewish faith, where there would be the local synagogue, and Sabbath by Sabbath, oh dear, we're getting mixed up this morning. Sabbath by Sabbath, people would gather to listen to the Word of God read and expounded, reminding them of the tradition from which they come and how they would take their witness forward. Now Jesus, our Lord, grew up in that tradition. And so it's no surprise to us to learn that at the very beginning of his ministry, he took time to be back in his hometown. And as was his custom, he attended the synagogue. Now at that particular moment in Jesus' ministry, he had been traveling through many different areas. And stories were accumulating of his powerful preaching and of his healing miracles. But there are indications in different parts of the Gospels that when he came to Nazareth, things were a bit different. He didn't get the same response from the people in his hometown as he did from people in different parts of Galilee. And so it was that when Jesus gathered with the people at the synagogue on the Sabbath day, there would be some tension when people realized that Jesus was actually there. And when he rose in their midst, and when he was handed the scroll to read, I'm sure that there would be mixed feelings amongst the people there as to what they could expect from Jesus on that day. And it's good for us, I think, friends, to get close to Jesus' message to these people as they were gathered. Because in hearing what Jesus had to say to them, surely this is a message that we ourselves can take to our hearts. Because in the first instance, it's quite clear that what Jesus delivered to the people on that Sabbath day was a hopeful message. Jesus delivered a hopeful message on that day. You know, it was the tradition in the synagogue that the scriptures would be read systematically so that in the course of a year, the local community would have been exposed to the complete law and the prophets as they were written in what we would understand to be the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Systematically, they would read through the law and the prophets so that everyone was aware of this God who had revealed himself to his people and how he wanted his people to be witnesses in the world at large. On that particular Sabbath day, there was a reading from the prophet Isaiah. And it was part of that section in the great prophet's preaching, which we have in the Hebrew Bible today. It was part of that section which was looking forward to that great day when God was going to renew the whole of creation. When there would be no more disturbance in the earth. When there would be no more disease. Where there would be no more disaster. God would be creating all things new. And the expectation was that this would happen through an anointed individual. Someone who would arise from the community of Israel. And through him, all things would be made new. This was the one who would be known as the Messiah. So Jesus reads from the scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," and so on. Jesus is able at the end of the reading to say, This scripture is being fulfilled today in your midst. The one the prophet Isaiah was pointing to, he's with you. He's speaking to you at this moment. God is working in me to bring about his great purpose. And friends, you know, in so many ways, when we meet together as God's people on the Lord's Day, we can say within ourselves that Scripture is being fulfilled in our midst. Because we sit here and stand here today knowing that the Lord Jesus has come, that the Messiah has been present in the midst of humanity, and he is moving the whole of human history towards that climax when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That promise is in our midst this morning and being fulfilled. Even as we sit here. You know how sometimes people might ask you how you're doing and you say, well, I'm getting there. Or how are things at work? Well, we're getting there. How's things in the church? Yes, we're getting there. And you know, that's as much probably as we can ever say when there are inquiries like that. But what a thought. It's not just something, a knee-jerk response to an inquiry about our health or anything else. We are getting there, friends. The promise is being fulfilled. Even as we stand before evidence that might lead us to a contrary conclusion, we are getting there because Jesus has promised. And as the hymn says, that promise cannot fail. And that is an attitude that we need to keep warm within ourselves at this time. You know, I've been listening to some of the assessments of Barack Obama's presidency now that he's getting ready to step aside. And someone wrote this, someone wrote, what began with yes we can has curdled into could be worse. What began as yes we can has curdled into could be worse. Now, there are various opinions about that. Let me make that clear. I'm not saying that that's my view. But it's a view that's around. That there's a promise that hasn't been fulfilled. But we come together here as a people who can say that our vision will never be dimmed. And our purpose will never lose its momentum. As we gather at the Lord's table, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we have faith that we're moving towards that great day. So Jesus has brought a hopeful message to the synagogue on that Sabbath. It's also a challenging message. Jesus has been speaking about what God is doing to fulfill his promises. But the challenge to the people who are present that Sabbath and looking to Jesus, all these eyes fastened on him as we're told, the challenge to them is, this is what God is doing now. Are you going to be part of this? Are your lives going to reflect the values that God is seeking to bring to the world at this time. And it's at that point that you feel that the shadow would be falling across that people on that day, because there has been resistance to Jesus amongst his own people. And even as some of them are beginning to be impressed by what he says, we're also told that there's a ripple of dissatisfaction going through the congregation. Is this not Joseph's son that we're listening to here? You know, so it's not just in Glasgow that a question mark can be raised against somebody if you knew his father. And Jesus is subject to that on that day. Joseph's son saying these things, doing these things. Come on. But Jesus was ready for that. Jesus was ready for that because he followed in a tradition of men who brought God's word to a people and they closed their minds and they closed their hearts. Elijah, Jesus says, the prophet you revere, why was it that it was a heathen woman whose son was healed in the days when God's judgment had fallen upon the people of Israel? Was there only faith among the heathen? And Elisha, why was it that of the countless numbers of lepers that existed in Israel at that time, a Syrian, Naaman, was cured? Was there no faith in Israel for miracles to happen? A big challenge to these people on that Sabbath who thought they had it all worked out. You know, that quote that I gave you about Obama, so many people saying that what started in enthusiasm has ended in disappointment. And I immediately respond to that by thinking, well, those people who are writing, what were they prepared to do to realize the vision? What were they prepared to do to bring the dream to reality? And that is what Jesus is asking that congregation on that Sabbath day. He's asking the question, but he's also answering it. There's no faith here. People are not responding to me. They are not willing to go forward with me as the Lord's anointed. And friends, that is the value of the Lord's Supper for us today. Because our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on Him entirely. And by God's grace, let us all come to that place where we can commit to Him once again. And to have that deep realization within us all. That if we're talking about hope for the world, then His is the only way. Jesus brings a hopeful message. He brings a challenging message. And at the end, it's clear that it's a costly message. You know, you often wonder what it would be like to listen to Jesus preaching. Wouldn't it just be the best thing that you've ever experienced? And yet, I just wonder how I would respond to Jesus. You know, folks say, I don't like reading Paul. You know, heavy stuff, and he's a prickly old bachelor, and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's nice to turn to Jesus. You know, the things that really challenge me in Scripture, and challenge me right up to this very moment, the things that make my spiritual hair stand on end, are the things that Jesus says. And I'm not going to rehearse some of the things that Jesus says in his teaching. But I believe to be around Jesus, at times anyway, would be quite a disturbing experience for a lot of people. And certainly we're told that on this Sabbath day, after Jesus had finished, or maybe even as he was preaching, everybody got up, got a grip of him, and took him out to the edge of a cliff, and they were going to throw him over. The people that knew him, the people that knew his mother and his brothers and his sisters. And in doing so, just confirmed Jesus' judgment upon them. They were behaving the way everyone had behaved towards the prophets in the past. Sometimes just making life difficult for them. Sometimes causing them pain. And sometimes putting them to death. But we're told that in this violent moment, in this moment when Jesus was actually facing death, at verse 30 we're told that he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Jesus walked through the crowd and went on his way. Now, we don't know exactly what was going on there. But Jesus survived that attempt on his life. Because there was more work for him to do. His time hadn't come. There was still that death to die, which would be, on a human level, the ultimate rejection. But there would still be the resurrection of Jesus, when in a sense he went on his way through the darkness of death in order to give us the hope that transformation can happen in this old and weary earth that we are part of. Jesus, walking his way, not just in this life, but through the end of life, in order to bring to us this hope of renewal now and forevermore. You know, we were talking last week about people in every generation who say these are the worst of times that we've ever had to live through. Look at the nation. Look at the world. Look how all the foundational values are collapsing. Look at the cruelty. Look at the violence. This is certainly the worst of times. And I heard someone, a writer on the radio recently, speaking about how in his own work he tries to bring some hope into his writings. He tries to bring a glimmer of hope, even in the midst of all the suffering and the disappointment that he represents in his writings. Because he says, you know, in the end, despair has to be earned. Despair has to be earned. In other words, you can only come to a point of despair if you yourself have done everything you can to bring hope to the world. And he was speaking from a purely human point of view. But for us, how much more inappropriate is it for us, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, to talk about despair? Because as Jesus goes on his way, as he walks through the violence and the threat of death that had descended upon him, as Jesus goes on his way, we are following Jesus. As his Spirit continues to transform lives, as His Spirit brings love into the midst of human cruelty, as His justice stands to rebuke the injustice that we see throughout the world today. Jesus is going on His way to that moment of completion for the whole of creation. And He's calling us to follow. We have a hymn called, "This is a Day for New Beginnings." Every Lord's Day should be a day for new beginnings. When the vision is clarified. When the cost challenges us. When we can commit ourselves once again to walk with our Lord. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of Your Spirit, You would speak to us through Your presence in the Word and the Sacrament to take us forward as a people who will never despair because of the promises You have given us to cherish. May we live in those promises, and may our lives bring hope to all those with whom we have to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.